verses before we pray. The first one in Isaiah chapter 50. Just thinking of the hymn, "He would not take from falsehood's fire, the glittering be the spark." Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 11. "Behold, all ye that kindle the fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of my hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow." And then over to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. 1 Peter 4 and 10. "As every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God."
Can we sing 195?
Afternoon that I trust are from the Lord. Just the last verse of that hymn that we sang this afternoon about seeing the Lord face to face. And the last couple of verses that we had read to us in the breaking of bread this morning really put this on my heart as well. You know, we arrived here a couple nights ago. It was fairly late, and I was lying in bed just wondering exactly what the weekend would hold, and feeling a little bit weary. And the Lord answered a prayer of mine at that time. It surprised me a little bit. And I just want to share a few thoughts, and it's with respect to the Lord's coming. You know, it was about, I guess, 6.5 years ago, as a family, we were driving out west, and I just enjoyed thinking about, you know, the Lord has come. He came as a baby 2,000 years ago. And a lot of people think about that this time of year. And I just had been thinking about the Lord coming again, second time. And there were a number of correlations between people at the time of the Lord's, when he first came, to when he came, to looking forward to him coming again. And I really enjoyed those thoughts, and I've shared them in the past. But last, in my personal reading, I'm reading in 1 Corinthians 5, just starting, 1 Thessalonians 5, and this morning, the verses were read from 2 Thessalonians. And what I want to share with you is an extension on what I enjoyed in that respect. You know, Paul had before us last night how the Lord was born in a manger, but there was no room for him in the inn. And, you know, here is a group, we know the Lord is coming. But the question is what effect does it have on our life? And when I thought about this before, and I'll share it very quickly, just and then go on to what I really want to talk about this morning, because in 2 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, we have the Lord's coming mentioned 5 times, or in every chapter, I should say. It's mentioned more than that. But in the 2 Thessalonians, they were discouraged and because they thought the Lord had already come and they're going through tribulation. And the Lord, and there's some nice exhortations in that book specifically that I was thinking about that also relate to the Lord coming the first time as a baby. And I just want to share them with you this afternoon. I'm going to go quickly through the 5 from 1 Thessalonians, and I'll go to the next one. I'm going to tell you what the 4 of them are, because these are 4 things that I struggle with often. Very recently, the Lord, as He often does, He's put a number of difficulties in my path, in our family's path, in the assembly's path over the last 3 or 4 months. And those difficulties are not easy to go through. The Lord put difficulties in the path of the Thessalonians as well. But the 4 things that I'm going to speak about are the tendency when we're waiting for the Lord's coming to sleep, the tendency to be troubled, the tendency to be weary, and the 4th, the tendency to let go of what the Lord has given us. Those 4 things are what I want to speak about. But I'm going to start with the first 5, which are very encouraging in 1 Thessalonians, and I'll go through them very quickly. I know some here have heard this before. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Thessalonians was written to by the Apostle Paul to the believers in Thessalonica. He didn't have a lot of time with them. There was a riot and he had to leave. Or he left, and he writes it to them. But he had already, in that short period of time, taught them a tremendous amount, and about the Lord's coming specifically. And it's mentioned every time in every chapter of this book. So I just want to start. So the first one is 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. So there's 5 positive things in 1 Thessalonians. The first one is to wait for the Lord Jesus. That's a tremendous thing that we can do, is wait for the Lord Jesus to come. It says in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And that reminded me of Anna in Luke 2, and we just flip back to it. Again, I'm going to go through these fairly quickly. She waited for the Lord to come. Israel was looking for the Messiah. She waited for a long time. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 36, "There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age. She lived with an husband 107 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of all them that looked for redemption in Israel." They were looking for redemption in Israel. They were looking for the Messiah to come. And you know, that was when they were waiting for the Messiah to come. It's a wonderful thing when we can look or wait for the Lord to come. It's a tremendous privilege, but often we get bogged down doing that, don't we? So that's the first one. The second one is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. The apostle is speaking of them there. He says, "What is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye at the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." So the Apostle Paul he was filled with joy to know that he would be with the Thessalonian believers for all eternity in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that reminds me of when they're waiting for the Messiah, the little baby John the Baptist in Elizabeth's stomach, when she was expecting, what happened to that baby. Let's just turn to that quickly. It's in Luke again. Joy. It should fill our hearts with happiness to think that the Lord is coming soon, and very soon. So Luke chapter, it's 1. In verse 41, it says, "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Very remarkable to consider. Well, there was joy when the Messiah came the first time, and there should be joy in our hearts as we look for the Lord to come again. The next one is in 1 Thessalonians 3. Again, the Lord's coming. This is what should characterize us. As we wait for His return. This is 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. "To the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even the Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Our hearts being unblameable in holiness before God. Well, you know, there's a lot of corruption around us. We don't have to look very hard to see that. And it has an impact on all of us. You can hardly turn on a computer, listen to the news, drive down the street, and the corruption around us. You know, it's a real exercise to have our hearts as unblameable in holiness before God. And that should be an exercise for every one of us here as we await the Lord's return. You know, often I think of those hidden things, perhaps, that restrict the Holy Spirit from being able to work freely because there isn't that unblameableness in our hearts. It's a serious, serious thing. You know, we long for blessing in meetings like this. We long for blessing in meetings like this. But when there's hidden sin, sometimes it's prevented. But the encouragement here is to live blameless. And the person I'm just, who I've enjoyed with this respect, if you go back to Luke again, John and Elizabeth, Zacharias and Elizabeth, what does it say specifically about them as they waited for the Messiah? This is Luke 1, verse 5. It says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Beautiful picture. Certainly something that we should strive to do before the Lord is to walk blameless. You know, we need to wash ourselves with the water of the Word constantly. But it's a beautiful thing to consider, and I think it should be an exercise of every one of our hearts in this room as we await the Lord's return to be have that character of Zacharias and Elizabeth. And just going on in 1 Thessalonians 4, these well-known verses, we've heard them spoken on many, many, many times. We'll start in verse 16. It's too nice not to go back, but it says there, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. So as we wait the Lord's return, we should be seeking to comfort one another. I appreciated two of the brothers in my assembly in the last 3 weeks that asked to pray with me. Both times it was a tremendous encouragement to me. Tremendous encouragement to me. You know, as a teenager, there's someone in this room who used to pray with me going up the chairlift. That was tremendous encouragement to me. You know, it's nice when we can be a comfort and a help and an encouragement to one another. Tremendous things. Well, I just go back to Luke again. This reminds me of, as he waited for the Messiah, Luke 2:25, Simeon. He was waiting for the comfort of Israel. It says, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed him and said, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Comfort as we await the Lord's return. Another